With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us and come learn with us. These are very trying times that we live in, and I think Americans, more Americans, are finding that without God, things look very impossible to turn around. So, as always, Ms. Barbara, I love it when we give it to God in prayer because the problems are so big. So, if you don't mind, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Diana. And what a wonderful day we have that the Lord has given us. What you said reminded me of something that George Washington said many years ago. He said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." And that made me think about what David said. And we've heard these words before from King David of Israel. He said that he who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. But what we might forget is the context in which David spoke those words. He was dying. These were his last words. When someone is dying and they're about to depart the earth or the afterlife, everlasting life, what they say at the end is very, very important. So these were the last words of David. In addition to that, he emphasized it, what he was saying, by saying it three different ways, referring to the God who told him this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. The God of Israel said," then he goes on to say, "the rock of Israel spoke to me. He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." Let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that that you are our God, our Father. We thank you, Father, that you reveal yourself to us through your word and by the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we can have that close, intimate, personal relationship with you, Creator of heaven and earth. What a privilege it is, Father. What a privilege it is to come before you in prayer together. Father, we thank you for our country. We thank you, Father, that it was established upon the fear of God, the fear of you, Lord, the respect and the awe and the reverence of you, O Lord, recognizing your truths and principles that you reveal to us in your word. And, Father, you spoke through David, your servant, and emphasized, Lord, that he that rules over men, he that governs men, must be just. And that just is your definition of just, not man's definition, Father. That we rule or govern in the fear of you, O Lord, acknowledging you, acknowledging your laws, acknowledging your principles. And that's what we pray for, Lord, for our nation, that those who are elected on November 6th will be just men, that they'll know justice, the true justice, your standard of justice, and that they will rule, they will govern, acknowledging you with reverence for you and respect for you, and that the policies that they make as they govern, that they will be in accordance with your word. We pray that, Father. We know that our nation has strayed far away from you, Lord. And we pray, Father, that you will bring us back. Lord, bring us back to you, Father. We do pray it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. And Ms. Barbara, you know, I'm just looking at my Bible, and I thank God for his word. It is a lamp unto our feet. And I can truly say God has been so good to me. But I know that there are days when things are not so good. Things are not so easy. And I just thank God for his word where he says, without faith, you can't please God. So it's like you know the end of the story. And you've got to really, you know, he's like that dad that holds your hand, you know, when you're a little child. And he's taking you by your hand and you're following him. That's really the way I have to walk, like that little child. Because, you know, nothing that I can do can really fix things. I can try to do my best. But ultimately, it is God and his doing, his will.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you said as a little child placing our hands in the hand of God, or as a child places his hand in with his father or mother, it reminded me, Diana, of years ago the Lord showed me that, impressed upon my heart that, you know, not to be so concerned with where I'm going, and as long as I'm with him, as long as my hand is in his hand, to be content in that, you know, like a child is with their parent when they, you know, say go on a trip or go, you know, as long as the child is with that parent, it doesn't really matter where you go or what you do. The security is with having your hand in his hand, you know. And so the Lord likened that with me. And to be content and to feel secure. And but the important thing is that we do recognize and trust in him along the way. And wherever he takes us will be good because we'll be with him. We are with him.
And Ms. Barbara, you know, I love to ask God for a word before we get on the show. And I'm looking at Jonah, and what is hitting my heart is, it says here in the introduction to Jonah, which hopefully a lot of people know the story of Jonah and the whale, where you know, God told Jonah really to give the good news, to share the truth that they must repent from evil and he will spare them or else destruction cometh. And I'm thinking that's where we're at. But I love what the bottom of this introduction says, Ms. Barbara. It says, as you read Jonah, see the full picture of God's loving compassion and realize that no one is beyond redemption. The gospel is for all who will repent and believe. Begin to pray for those who seem to be following us from the kingdom and look ways to tell them about God. Learn from the story of this reluctant prophet and determine to obey God, doing whatever he asks and going wherever he leads. And it reminds me, Ms. Barbara, of those people that are seemingly hard to reach in this election. They are diehard Obama fans, you know, but even though we have a lot of things that we may not agree on, I think we can agree on that we all need help. You know, we all need help right now.
Right.
And I'm thinking they're hoping that their help will be found in a man such as Obama, but you know, really, in reality, we beg to differ.
Well, we're looking at two diametrically opposing directions. Absolutely opposite one another. Barack Obama wants to take us one direction, and Mitt Romney wants to take us in a different direction. So the question becomes, in what direction should we go? And we can see the direction that Barack Obama has taken us in the past 4 years, and it's just a rapid move toward total government control. Environmental Protection Agency has been put on steroids under the Obama administration, with severe regulations and restrictions, not allowing drilling in the Gulf, using the oil spill that crisis, blowing it up, and actually lying about the study that they shut down drilling in the Gulf, all of these things. You know, Mitt Romney wants to take us toward energy independence, to use our own resources, oil and gas, and drill, baby, drill. Barack Obama has shut down drilling. It's impossible to get permits to drill for our own oil, and yet is using our taxpayer money to help Brazil drill for oil. It's, two opposing directions. So which way do we want to go? Toward jobs, toward energy independence, toward independence for individuals, freedom, liberty to pursue God's plan for us and achieve great things using our creative genius that he's placed within us? Or do we want to be wards of the government and have government dole-outs and just live a meager existence waiting for the next moment, you know?
We really have a great week of interviews coming up. We're hoping Tuesday that our, you know, war on terror expert who does it because out of love for God and country, John Bernard, will be on to remind us about what the military is facing. So there, you know, that's one of the largest main topics that people are very concerned with is our stability. On Wednesday, we're going to have Grace Marie Turner. Again, we're going to be focusing on really our financial stability. And then Thursday, Neil Mammon, who is going to pose that, and I love it, that he really, it comes down again to the body of Christ. You know, if we who are called by his name, we'll seek his face and turn from our evil ways. And Neil really does a wonderful job of pointing the truth out to us that really, you know, God has given us this gift of government unlike any other. And really, we are the boss, so to speak. But it's almost like a lot of people do not realize that their vote really is so much precious. I'm looking at this $16.2 trillion deficit, and Obama owns $6 trillion of that deficit. And that's, you know, the history of this nation, 16.2. But at that rate of one man doing that in 4 years, Miss Barbara, which is really a third of, you know, the history of this nation's deficit in one man, I would think that somewhere in the mind of a parent or grandparent or really anybody who is a citizen, there would be some questions on whether Obama is going to lead this nation because of the record.
Well, people have to be thinking about it. If they're listening or watchful at all, they have to recognize, they have to have heard that every dollar our government spends, 40 cents of it is borrowed from China. Now, let's look at China. China is planning on dominating the world. Of course, the Islamic nations are doing the same thing. But China has long advocated a world government with them at the helm. They have dedicated their funds toward military advances with their missiles, and it was during the Clinton administration that they perfected the missiles. And at that time, back in the 1990s, they had 13 missiles aimed at 13 American cities. I don't know what the number is now. I haven't come across that recently. But they have made no secret of the fact that they plan on dominating the United States. And here they are glad to loan us money. Why? Because the borrower is the servant or the slave of the lender. So that's what we're looking at for our future, for our children. And economic decline and chaos and debt, deficit, all of this plays right into the hands of the enemies of the United States, one of which is China. And we can't forget that. No matter what it looks like on the surface, this is the plan that they have. They've always believed throughout their history that they were the center of the earth, that they were destined to rule the earth. And they still have that plan and are working. You remember the Olympics in China, Diana? You remember that show?
Uh-huh.
Play of greatness, of dominance, of it was extraordinary, and all of that was set up to show the world who they are and what they can do, and that you know, they intend on being the superpower, not the United States.
Well, Ms. Barbara, I was just thinking, you know, with $6 trillion, I was curious. I think we've got a population of, let's see, 300 million, is that right? Is the U.S.
Uh-huh.
population?
Yeah.
I mean, if you were just to divide that $6 trillion into the number of people that were out of work, say half of that was out of work, I think you would have really put money in the hands of the people, rather than the way that Obama has, because what he's pretty much done is really, he's still in the negative. Even though all that money was supposedly set aside to get us out of the dumps, I mean, he's really still in the negative as far as the number of jobs that you're supposed to get out there every year or every month just to keep up with the population of those that are needing to go to work. College students and all that.
Well, you know, we can look at history. What nation in the history of the world ever spent their way to prosperity. What person, what individual ever in the history of the world spent their way to prosperity, spending a lot more money than what they have? It's not done. That's not how you gain prosperity. The United States of America became prosperous because we used our God-given talents and intellect and had the freedom to produce and profit from what we produce. That's guaranteed in the Constitution of the United States, Article 1, Section 8, where intellectual property is protected and copyrights and patents are protected for individuals. And that's why we became the wonder of the world. It's right there in the Constitution, the protection of law for each individual in the United States of America. And that's why in the Inventors Hall of Fame, over 90% of those in the Inventors Hall of Fame in the world now, over 90% of them come from the United States of America that are Americans or that did their work here. Why? So it would be protected by law so they could produce and profit from it. And with 5 to 8% of the world's population, the United States of America, the people, Americans, produced over 95% of the world's wealth. Now, we didn't do it through spending our way into oblivion, into servanthood, into slavery. We didn't do it that way. It can't be done that way. It's the way we did it is God's way, and it cannot be done any other way, Diana. And so that's what we're facing. That's a choice that we make during this election, in this election, November 6th. Are we going to apply the principles of our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, as Paul Ryan talks about? Are we going to reapply those principles? Or are we going to go the way of Karl Marx with socialism and communism, the way the Europeans have been going, with now their incomes taxed over 70%? You know, we have a clear choice here, don't we?
Oh, we sure do, Miss Barbara, and it's just really when you read things like this, you know, that points out just the money. And I think most everybody understands, if you've ever had a credit card, you know what you're saying is true. When that interest rate is so high, you really cannot, literally, you can't pay that credit card at the usual terms. You have got to pay a lot more. And, you know, what it sounds like is really this nation is to the point where it can't really even pay more. It's just got to pay the minimum.
Right.
And so you're indebted, like you said, you're really indebted just about forever unless something changes. And, again, the Romney plan, you know, he talks about 12 million jobs, and we had Mr. Henry Burke, who just was so great at showing us, yes, it is doable. And I've heard Mitt Romney's plan, which is, you know, he's talking about really opening up, as you were talking about, our capability to get into, you know, allowing the oil to be drilled and for the oil shale to be processed, you know, and turned into energy. You know, there's so many different ways, and with that you could, my goodness, you will have millions of jobs in no time. But the mindset, Miss Barbara, is the problem. This president really has a mindset that is not pro-job. And I hate to say it, that is really the bottom line. He wants to protect everybody else, including Big Bird, versus the American family that is in need of jobs.
Well, I hope the American people see that very clearly, that's the direction that he wants. He's never started a business. Barack Obama he's been taught economics from a socialist perspective, always. And so, you know, he does not understand free markets. He rejects them. he wants to reduce the United States of America to from a superpower to one of many nations. You know, he's rejected American exceptionalism, the idea of American exceptionalism, and he's rejected that publicly and repudiated it publicly. We know that. The direction he wants to take us is into more and more debt, more and more spending, more and more government dependency on more and more people. The food stamp program is a prime example of that, how it has expanded under his leadership, or lack of leadership, I should say. So, you know, we can see the direction he wants to go. I just hope and pray that there are enough Americans with that spirit of liberty and that desire to to go for it, to achieve, to achieve excellence in whatever God calls us to do, and I hope there are enough, Diana, that see this election very clearly and make the right choice and vote for freedom, prosperity, jobs, energy independence, individual liberty with our health care, and so forth. I'm hoping and praying along with many other Americans.
Well, Ms. Barbara, you know, I've always loved the fact that, you know, God in his goodness put a little bit of himself in us. And when you see the love for a child, you know, you get a taste of God's love for us. There's just nothing like it. And I know I was reading an article about this woman who had this experience of really standing before an abortion clinic, and what she saw was just about every one of the women that left there crying. But right along many of them was a man who was just ready for them to get it over with. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I know that there's many things that has really changed men these days, that has really taken away from, I think, the calling that God had in their lives, you know, from pornography, which is really what television, a lot of TV is nothing but really pornography. It's making that mind of a man, which is, they're very visual. And, of course, if you can bind that strong man, you know, you can bind that family. And the enemy knows that. And so he has done such a, you know, this big job of taking away the man. But then I just thank God about what still is in the woman. And I think about that love for the child, you know, to where a lot of the people that we are seeing in the tea parties are really a lot of women. And I think it comes out of love for the child or the grandchild, as well as, of course, the love for the family, the husband. But that's an instinct that God in his goodness has put in us. And I'm just wondering, Miss Barbara, because I'm thinking that's a uniting force all across. It does not matter what color you are. God has put it really in all of us, you know, that protective nature for that child. And I'm praying, you know, even if you're listening and, you know, you're proud of being that self-made woman, so sure yourself, very independent, and you may not have a child, you know, or you may have one. But really, I would just about beg them, Miss Barbara, to take a look at what is really going to happen with an Obama administration who has control of the children's minds, because that's what we're seeing. I mean, you know, there's always so much disunity in the House. You can tell it. And education is worse than ever. You know, it used to be the mothers, they are helping the children, but now it's almost like the mother is fighting the school system just in order to help her child pass school. And I'm thinking, I pray that these mothers would just start asking questions, Miss Barbara. You know, am I willing to forsake my child's future? Because that's what will happen if they don't vote rightly.
Well, that's right. I think we have to look ahead, and we really have to ask ourselves as parents, as grandparents, what kind of world do we want for them? What, you know, are we the America that we know that's decent and honorable and where a man can work and make a good living, provide for his family, hold his head up, be recognized as having dignity and worth and achieving what he's capable of achieving and the excellence in which he's called to, and family unit, living and working together. And, you know, what kind of world do we want for our children? Do we want our children subjected to pornography and all manner of sexual immorality? Do we want them trained in that? What do we want for our children? And then what is it going to take for us to get there? How can we help create the world that we want for our children, a world of decency and honor, and where we think on those things that are noble and pure and good, and train up our children the way they should go in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? Or do we want them fed garbage and trash and grow in that into rebellion and wildness? I was at the park here last week with my grandchildren, and they were playing, and I was talking with a young man. He's actually a police officer, and he has two small children. His little girl is in the second grade. His child is in preschool. And we were talking about the issues of the day, and he said that his little girl in the second grade, Diana, there was a little boy in her class that is really bothering her, telling her, "You're so hot. You are so hot." And this young man was just appalled that his second grade daughter was being subjected to this. He said, you know, maybe the little boy didn't know what he was saying and what he was talking about. And I said, well, I could be, but you know, I'm afraid he does. I'm really concerned that he does know, and that this manner this is going on even in the schools in the second grade, you know. And it was just appalling, and that young man is concerned for his daughter's morality and safety in the classroom. That's what some of what we're facing, Diana, for our children.
Well, and that's mild right now, but I remember, Miss Barbara, you know, what Ms. Donna Garner, you know, I thank God for her articles, and I've been a lot lax in printing a lot of them because of my computer problems, but I'm hoping I'll do better, because I remember, you know, she researches things, and one of the things that she was researching and had put out there an article was, you know, what this homosexual agenda has done to the health of our young boys. That the rate of AIDS is higher in the young boys, the youth, than it is the older, because they're being preyed upon now. And, you know, they're showing homosexuality as really an acceptable lifestyle. But I'm thinking, you know, the schools need to be looking at the health implication of such a lifestyle. They need to be educating the public, because those statistics don't lie. You know, a great percentage of these are going to die. You know, it used to be AIDS was, you know, you did die pretty quick, But what they've done, because of their research and development, they have made it where people don't die as quick. You know, they have found all sorts of weapons to fight it. You know, I just was nosing in California. You know, they're up on top of that, and you can see that in their rates of death due to AIDS, that death rate is not as high. But do you know where it's high, Ms. Barbara? It's higher than the California death rate for AIDS. It's in the South.
Really?
It is. And I think what it is a lot of those people have moved, and it's growing now. It is growing by leaps and bounds. You know, Georgia, Texas, you know, Texas of all places. It's horrible. And that's something that people need to wrap their brain about, you know. Unfortunately, the Obama administration loves the homosexual agenda. We've seen that with them putting the czar of the, the safe school czar, Kevin Jennings, to, you know, be a leader in the Department of Ed. They love the homosexual agenda. So, you know, I really would like to ask the parents, you know, you need to study, because now it's not just money that's going to be the price of making the wrong decision as far as financial stability. It is really going to be the health of your children, your grandchildren, that's at stake. Because even though they've done a better job, even though, you know, the people may be living longer on AIDS in certain parts of the country, AIDS is still AIDS, and it's a horrible way to spend the rest of your lifetime.
Well, it is, and we know how it spread. You know, it's not like it's some deep mystery. You know, we understand, we know, people know how it is spread, and it is a public health issue, particularly among early teens, boys. And it's being promoted. We know how it's promoted through TV and movies and our culture. And now it's even being promoted in the school, the normalization of a perversion. And, you know, think back, Diana, when we were in school, and I'm older than you are, but I think that you will relate with this also. When we were in school, when I was in school, sex was not in the curriculum. We didn't have classes where, you know, you learn how to put on a condom. We didn't have classes instructing us in how to prevent pregnancies. It was not on the radar screen, and sexual immorality was at a much lower rate. Teen pregnancies were rare in where I grew up in the Midwest and in the 50s and 60s. It was rare, and it was not accepted, and, you know, and there was not much of it. But we studied math and language and science and history and all of those things, but we didn't study sex. It was not even on the radar screen. But now we live in a sex saturated society, and we are destroying the innocence of little children with it. And it is just it breaks God's heart. It breaks our heart. And we have to look at it clearly and say, what are we going to do to stop it? What can we do to stop it? We got to look in the school system. We have to look at the what's being fed to our children through games and TV and all of that. And commercials. The commercials now are just filled with sexual actions and words, and it's being promoted like never before. Our children are being bombarded with this stuff, Diana. And
well, Ms. Barbara, you know, I would just, you know, I really love the fact that there's so many black pastors now that are speaking up because they are seeing the death. They're seeing the crimes. They're, you know, the black-on-black crimes, you know. They're there in the trenches. So they know the price of this leadership. And one of the, you know, simple things we could do really is, you know, it's just like, you know, the blind following the blind. I hate to say, but Obama is blind to the right policies. And if we keep on following the blind, you know, we're going to go off the cliff. So the first easy step really for us is to elect somebody else with a different vision, because we know the path we're taking, I hate to say it, Ms. Barbara, is so anti-God. You know, we're really going against everything that God has said not to do. His defense of, you know, the homosexual agenda, and now we're seeing that he is really against, he is for rather getting rid of the Defense of Marriage Act, you know. He's already allowed the military to be, I mean, they've got a war within a war, Ms. Barbara, because, yeah, you know, because of the opening of the repeal of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because now they're being preyed upon. Is that enough that they have to fight and defend them, you know, themselves, but, you know, to not be able to trust your comrade? That's an undercurrent that we're not hearing more of, but we know from the few that we have heard of, it is a big problem, and it's getting bigger. So I just think this is really, I hate to say it, Ms. Barbara, but, you know, this presidential election is really about souls, you know, about the souls. It is really about the souls of the nation.
I believe so too, Diana. It really is, and it is so important that we make the right choice, and we choose rightly. We choose. There is a choice. There is a choice, and Romney Ryan have a plan to get us out of debt, to balance the budget, to get us energy independent, to reapply the principles in the Declaration and the Constitution, which are biblical. Those are biblical principles, and they have vowed to reapply them and to look at, you know, everything will change. Our foreign policy will change. Our military will change. Our educational system will change. And I believe for the better, because the Romney Ryan plan is to take us in a different direction in all of those areas. They're going to come down on the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and stop the actions to destroy businesses and industries. You know, part of what's going to happen with the oil and gas drilling, that's going to create other industries from that. You know, that's what happens. Anytime you have something allowed to produce, it creates other industries. And I think our manufacturing industries will be coming back as a result of that as well. And so, you know, just all sorts of opportunities open up with free markets and, you know, less restriction, less regulation. Really, there's been a war declared on businesses and industries in this country, and that will stop with the Romney Ryan electing them to the presidency and the vice presidency of the United States, and getting senators in, getting a majority of conservative senators in, we can really turn this big ship around that's been going in the wrong direction. We really can. It's a doable. With God, it is possible. The Bible says with God, all things are possible. But, you know, It's going to take citizen involvement. It's going to take an informed citizenry to do this, but it can be done. And so, you know, we're hoping and praying. There are many groups, Diana, all throughout this country, even throughout the world, that are praying together for our nation for this coming election because of how important it is, as you stated so clearly.
Oh, and Ms. Barbara, I saw Stossel last night, and he showed a little bit, which we hear from our friend Luca Bocci, about, you know, what will happen to America, you know, and it is really, it's sad. It is so sad because we don't have to go that way. We don't have to follow the Greeks who, you know, who have given so much entitlement, but now, you know, the people that have been getting entitlement are up at arms because the money has run out. And I'm just, I would think, though, that even the people on food stamps, they've got to realize, you know, that just like everything else, when you eat food, you know, you can't eat anymore when it's gone. When your plate is empty, there's no more.
That's right.
You know, I shouldn't be laughing at that, but, you know, there's practical things before your eyes that has got to remind you when it's gone, it's gone. And, you know, you can do something right now and make sure that there's more tomorrow, but at the rate that we're going, $6 trillion, and that's in just one term of this president, you know, what you see as a need and is really something that you deserve, which is to be able to retire and draw Medicare and Social Security, all that's going to be gone. That's going to be gone. That's what's happening in Greece, Ms. Barbara, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and it's happening throughout Europe for the most part. And, you know, it's two diametrically opposing worldviews, Diana. The Obama worldview and the view of socialist communists is a world without God and very limited in the view. And they view the economy as a zero-sum game where the wealth is static. It's like they see a pie. And they think that in order for one person to be wealthy, they have to take away the wealth of another and then divide it up because they don't understand about creating wealth from the resources that were given by God for that purpose, for man to have dominion over the earth and to achieve and produce and succeed, and, you know, just limitless creation from the resources God has given us. They don't see that. They just see it as static. It's there in order. It kind of reminds me of years ago, before the United States came into existence, where there would be one nation conquering another. And when they did, they would take over their wealth, their resources, their people, enslave them, and whatever. But they would take over. And that's, I think, the mindset of the Obama people. And they don't either want or see that wealth can be created when the genius of people created by God, fearfully and wonderfully in his image, where that genius is unleashed. You know, it's just totally different. It's totally different. So Mitt Romney has a vision. You said something about a vision, and he did vision to see the creative genius of Americans unleashed to once again create wealth, and it is through the creation of wealth where people are free to start businesses. They're free to expand their businesses without fear of government interference and so forth. you know, free to risk their money once again. You know, Mitt Romney has that vision, but Barack Obama does not.
Well, I thank God for the history of this nation, Ms. Barbara, because we clearly saw that when God's ways was followed and he was acknowledged, you know, then this nation bloomed like no other. We see that.
That's right.
We saw that in our history. So I pray that people remember that. And I know that so many that are poor and helpless and hopeless and are on food stamps, they see the what goes on in their neighborhoods where, you know, who's the king is those drug dealers.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, they might enjoy it for a season, but sooner or later you hear somebody was killed, and unfortunately sometimes you see your own family get killed. So, you know, I just think, again, honest gain. That's what the Bible says. And this trying to shortcut it that we're seeing this, you know, we know there's always going to be people with the money. And again, it reminds me of tyranny all over again, Ms. Barbara, because the head of this, I don't know what you want to call it. It's a gimmick of a sort, you know. I'm going to provide for all, but really I'm going to take care of myself. You know, it's just a gimmick. But, you know, it's a lie. It is a lie. And we can no longer afford to buy into it. There's really no room, no room, no extra money to find somewhere that's been lost. Unfortunately, the enemy has found all the money, and he's raking it in and more of it. Your hard-earned money, if you're a hard-working lady trying to take care of your two kids or more, you know, you can barely survive on your one income. Who knows? You're probably even working a second job. Can you imagine how hard it's going to be for your child's future to maintain? I just don't think they can survive, Ms. Barbara. I don't think that's a future any American parent want for their child.
Well, we have to decide. We have to look, open our eyes, and actually, you know, decide what we want for our children and what kind of world we want to leave them. And we can do that. We can do that. You know, a lot of people don't look back to history, Diana. And unfortunately, in the last century, history, our true history in this country has not been taught. What has been taught has been revisionist history. It's been rewritten. And, you know, even today, there's not much history taught preceding the 20th century. You know, our wonderful stand for freedom is not being taught. Our great heroes from the past, what they sacrificed, what they contributed, that's not being taught, hasn't been taught for many, many years. So a lot of people simply don't know. For example, I don't think Barack Obama has ever learned about the history of the United States of America. I think that's obvious from his statement, that his knowledge is so limited regarding American history that he would make the statement, well, I've already been in 57 states. You know, that is total ignorance. That statement comes from ignorance of the history of this country. He referred to, was it the Marine Corps as corps? You know, he doesn't have any knowledge or understanding about our foundation. He really doesn't. And our great heroes from the past, and his education was centered in a very different worldview. So that's what he's learned, and that's where his focus is. That is his worldview, which is very different from the worldview of Americans. It just is. It just simply is. And, Dinesh D'Souza pointed this out quite distinctly in the movie 2016, What Will Four More Years of the Obama Administration Bring Us To? What will it look like? And we see that very clearly. You and I have not spoken together about the vice presidential debate and that spectacle of the Vice President Joe Biden, the spectacle that he presented in that debate. You know, I think that gives also a very clear distinction between a young man who is serious about our country and he respects the office that he is aspiring to. That was very clear, that Paul Ryan respects the office of the vice presidency of this great country, and he treated it with respect, and he's very knowledgeable and very concerned. And then we have the opposite of Joe Biden treating Paul Ryan with contempt and ridicule and mockery and deception and distraction and lying. Diana, Joe Biden, what he said in that debate, he's been caught in so many lies, that he would just, blusteringly came out with this great, and I think he interrupted Paul Ryan something like 82 times. It was just ridiculous. It was a spectacle. And so we can see that there's a contrast there. And I think that we're also going to see a contrast in the upcoming debate tomorrow night, Tuesday night, between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama, don't you think? What are you expecting?
Well, he's getting all sorts of suggestions on how to pose and how to speak, and but I think what I've heard before is so true about his greatest foe, really, is his record, Obama's record. You can't wipe that away. And it was so very sad to watch. It was so painful for me to watch Biden, Ms. Barbara. I just hurt because here we are at really the worst time in our nation's history, besides, I think, the fight with Great Britain. And here's our leader, of our vice president, laughing through it all. I mean, it was just really hurtful as a citizen that this is who we placed in a position of power that's going to affect our children and our future. So I'm really begging and praying. It was horrible. Well, Ms. Barbara, we like to give it to God in prayer.
That's right. Will you pray for our nation and pray for
I sure will. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that you are God and there is nothing hard for you. And Lord, you have said that without faith we can't please you. And Lord, we know that in the beginning of this nation, when George Washington, John Adams, these other great men, Lord, when they took it was with a knowledge that they needed you and that with men it is impossible. Oh, we come before you again. We don't deserve your mercy, Lord. We have done so many things, Lord, that has broken your heart, Lord. But, Lord, we ask it anyway. We ask for your mercy anyway, that you would give us another chance, Lord. Help us to turn from our wicked ways, Lord. Help our people. And help us to remember, Lord, our love for our families. And that is, Lord, that is why we must make the right decision on who to put at the helm. Because it will mean
the future and really the souls of our children and future generation. Lord Heavenly Father, we want to go towards you, not away from you. So, Lord, I just pray that you would speak to the mothers and fathers, that you would help them to hear from you. And I pray for your blessing upon Romney in this debate, Lord. Now, I pray for repentance from Obama, Lord, for where he has erred and turned this nation away from you. Lord, help us. And I pray you'll bless the listeners with your truth, because we know that you love them too. You loved us so much that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, for our sins. We thank you, Lord, and we pray blessings upon all of the listeners. And we thank you, and we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Diana. And tomorrow we hope to have John Bernard with us. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So we're
well,
so excited.
I am looking forward to that. No better time
and then Wednesday,
Ms.
Barbara. I'm sorry. I'm going to go ahead and mention again, Ms. Barbara. Wednesday is going to be Grace Marie Turner, who is really the leading expert on Obamacare, on the health care policies of this nation. So she is going to be incredible. And then Neil Mammon on Thursday, who asks, Jesus is involved in politics. Why aren't you? So we thank God for these opportunities.
That's right. It's a great lineup, Diana. Well, listeners, we thank you for joining us today, and we do ask that you share our podcasts, which are available at www.cityonahill.tv. Share them with your family and friends wherever they live so that they can become informed, inspired, and involved. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May God bless America. May God bless Israel. Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.